Now for the latest world sport from the BBC. Hello, this is Matt Davis. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Manchester City beat West Ham 3-1 in the English Premier League as Carlos Tevez scores twice against his former club.
And a possibility now for Petrov of Manchester City. If he can ball this back, he does so, and Tevez scores from 3 yards out. In it goes towards Tevez, and it's gone in. It's Carlos Tevez who got the final touch as well.
Elsewhere, the Chicago 2016 Olympic bid gets a boost from President Obama, and rain thwarts India's chances at cricket's Champions Trophy. First day to football, and Manchester City are up to fourth in the English Premier League thanks to a 3-1 win over West Ham. The Hammers stay in the bottom three. The BBC's Ian Dennis was watching at Eastlands.
Three seasons ago, Carlos Tevez saved West Ham from relegation, but here his goals kept his former club in the bottom three. Yet after his fifth-minute opener, a simple tap-in, his celebration was almost apologetic as he clasped his hands in front of the West Ham fans. In truth, Tevez could have had a hat-trick inside a quarter of an hour, such was City's dominance. Yet West Ham levelled against the run of play, Cole diverting Kovac's shot, but Petrov's low free kick restored City's lead after 32 minutes. Tevez punished slack defending just past the hour. Barry and Petrov were close to increasing their advantage. Bellamy impressed, as did City, who registered an eighth successive home victory.
And let's hear now from the Manchester City boss, Mark Hughes. He was clearly pleased with a good team performance.
It was a good night for us tonight, and Carlos and in fairness, everybody played well, I felt, tonight. I thought it was a really professional performance, got the job done, and we're really pleased. Obviously, we've made a good start, and we're delighted with the start of the season that we've been able to achieve at this moment in time, but that's all there is at the moment. But we're playing well, we're playing with confidence, and enjoying our football at the moment.
The Paraguay international, Roque Santa Cruz, finally made his City debut. He's been recovering from knee injury since his $25 million close-season move from Blackburn. And he said it's been difficult watching on.
Yeah, it's been very hard and very difficult for me not to rush things. Maybe I could have played already before and maybe it wasn't the right time, but today I felt great. And to play today for the very first time, it's been very joyful. Having the 3 points that we really deserve today.
And the reception that you got as well from the home fans.
Yeah, fantastic. I didn't know what to expect when I came, and especially because I've been always working and try to rush things so to get going and to show the people what I'm about. And I think that I've been, since I came, working and doing my best for the club. And when you see this kind of reception, you just do it like with more love and passion that ever before, because you know what you mean for the people. So it's been very, very nice to have that reception.
Staying with football, Spain and Venezuela are through to the next phase of the Under-20 World Cup in Egypt. Venezuela recorded their second win of the tournament with a resounding 8-0 victory over Tahiti. Spain defeated 10-man Nigeria 2-0 thanks to two goals from the Arsenal midfielder Fran Morita. One of them came from the penalty spot, leaving Nigeria's coach Samson Siasia frustrated.
I'm very disappointed losing two games with officiating like this. That means I don't know what's going on. Maybe the referees don't want us to get to the next round because it's obvious that penalty wasn't a penalty. It's just so ridiculous. And I believe we had more chances in the first half. I played where we had more chances. I don't know why our strikers are always asleep. I don't know how many chances we need to score a goal.
Elsewhere on Monday, Italy defeated Trinidad and Tobago 2-1. The host Egypt were beaten by Paraguay by the same scoreline. Now, Chicago's bid to host the 2016 Summer Olympics has been boosted by the news that President Obama will travel to Denmark later this week to help present their case to the IOC. Mr. Obama, who's from Chicago, will be the first US president to take a direct role in lobbying for the Games. So how important will his visit be? A question for the BBC's Alex Kapstick in Copenhagen.
Well, I don't think you can say it's going to guarantee success for Chicago, although one or two IOC members have already said to me that it could well be a deal clincher if he was to turn up. But the other cities also have their own political leaders there. Rio's president, Lula, will another charismatic figure. He's been very forceful behind Rio's bid right from the start. He'll be part of their presentation team. King Juan Carlos of Spain, another charismatic figure, will be there to back back Madrid, the new prime minister, elected only just a few weeks ago, of Japan, Yukio Hatoyama, will be there to back Tokyo's bid. So lots of high-profile politicians, and this is seen as very important in the bidding process nowadays.
Well, as Alex was saying there, not everyone agrees that President Obama's visit to Denmark alone will guarantee Chicago victory. Mike Lee, who helped London win the Games for 2012, is now part of the bid team for Rio.
He's a political superstar. There's no two ways about that. But this is a vote for the Olympic Games and the Paralympic Games. And it's also about the work that's been put in, the campaigning efforts of heads of state, including President Lula of Brazil, the technical qualities of a bid, and frankly, what you offer the Olympic movement and the Olympic Games. And that's a lot more than one man. This is about 2 years of campaigning. This is about people's history in sport. It's about their commitment to the Games. It may be about taking the Games to the continent of South America for the first time. So President Obama has made history in the United States. Well, now maybe an opportunity for the Olympic movement to make its own history by taking the Games to Brazil.
Next to cricket on the BBC World Service, India's hopes of reaching the last four of the Champions Trophy have suffered a setback. Their match against Australia at Centurion Park was abandoned because of rain. Australia reached 234 for four in 43 overs when the match was called off. The BBC's Piers Edwards was watching.
India's bid to reach the semi-finals of the Champions Trophy is now out of their hands after their Group A clash with Australia was abandoned because of rain. Fine half-centuries from Australia skipper Ricky Ponting and Mike Hussey, who hit a healthy 67 off 65 balls, had put the reigning champions in a commanding position. They were looking good on 234 for four with more than seven overs left to play. But as predicted and as feared, a fierce storm hit Centurion. So bad, in fact, that the floodlight pylon was plunged into darkness after being hit by lightning. The plug was soon pulled on the match as well, leaving India needing a massive win from their final group match against the West Indies on Wednesday, while hoping that Pakistan beat the Australians. That's because the Pakistanis, who are already through to the semis, currently top the group with 4 points, one more than Australia, while India can muster just the one awarded from this match.
New Zealand will join England in the semi-finals if they win the final group game between the two in Johannesburg on Tuesday. Defeat would see Sri Lanka progress on a better run rate. England have got three consecutive one-day wins behind them, and the Kiwi skipper Daniel Vettori says the opposition are coming good at just the right time.
They're a good team. We've had a lot of success in one-day cricket against them lately, but I think they'll be a confident side coming off two wins. So hopefully the fact that we've played on this wicket, we'll be ready for them, but it's going to be a really good game. It's hard to pick winners, but I think everyone, I suppose, fancied South Africa and Sri Lanka to go through, but they always knew that New Zealand and England would push them pretty hard, and it's proved to be.
Staying with cricket, the England all-rounder Andrew Flintoff has guaranteed his availability for one-day and 2020 internationals for the next year. Flintoff is recovering from a knee injury, and he's turned down a contract from the England and Wales Cricket Board. He does reject, though, accusations that by becoming a freelance cricketer, he's being mercenary.
You know, over the past few years, I've come back from injury six times, and it's all been about playing for England and Lancashire. Nothing's changing from that front. My life and my career is probably going to take a slightly different path in respect of, you know, not being centrally contracted. I'm still contracted to Lancashire, which I'm excited about playing for. Over the past 10 years, you know, I've not played as much as I'd like to for them, playing for England. I'm just saying I play for Chennai, and other opportunities might arise, but first and foremost, you know, it's playing for England. And I've seen a lot of people saying, picking and choosing the game and conflicts, but I'd have been none of that. Every England game in the short form I'm available for.
Some tennis news. The world number one Dinara Safina has gone out at the WTA event in Tokyo. The Russian was beaten in three sets by the teenage qualifier Chiang Kai-shek of Taiwan. Our top story again, Manchester City. They're up to fourth in the English Premier League after a 3-1 win over West Ham. That's the latest from BBC Sport. You can find more on our website at bbcworldservice.com.